We're going to read together from Luke chapter 23. I'm going to read verse 32 right through to verse 49. This is Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, begin to read at verse 32. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise." It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Father, would you do that to us now? Would you melt our hearts? Father, forgive us when the most important thing in the world, so often we treat as something which is trivial or doesn't really matter. Father, I'm sure many of us have got many different things planned for this weekend, but Father, help us to keep the cross central in our minds. Father, would you speak to our hearts at this time, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, it's no surprise that we're thinking about the cross. Easter is just an amazing time of the year. Even though we can think about the cross any day, and we should do that, there's something so I find really special about dwelling on and thinking about the cross, especially on Good Friday. Last year, we looked in detail at the crucifixion process. So we're not going to do that today, but very briefly, crucifixion did two things really well. It made sure that people suffered the most immense physical pain possible, and also it made sure that people were embarrassed as much as possible or humiliated as much as possible. One person writes this: "Crucifixion seems to have been invented by barbarians on the edge of the known world and taken over from them by the Romans. It is probably the most cruel method of execution ever practiced, for it deliberately delayed death until maximum torture had been inflicted." So what happened to the victims? They were nailed through the hands and the feet to a cross. Often the shoulders were dislocated. And of course, this all happened after their backs had been flogged and all their skin was broken. And the Romans, what they did was made sure that they did this during religious festivals, so there were loads of people around to see it. They often crucified people along the main road to make sure there was maximum exposure for the victims. The Romans didn't crucify Roman citizens. It was seen as too horrific a way to die. They reserved it for the worst criminals. And Jesus, although innocent, having done nothing wrong, was sentenced to death by crucifixion. Why? Why did the Romans do it? Why is it such a bad way to kill? Why did they put Jesus through that? Well, in all competitive sports, you'll know there are rules. And those rules are there to make sure that the game is played right. If people commit a foul in any game and the referee doesn't do something about it, then more than likely more people would commit fouls because you would gain some sort of unfair advantage. That's why in games there are sin bins and yellow cards, red cards. There's games where the opponent gets given certain points. See, it's a message that if you cheat, this is what happens to you. Well, crucifixion was a message from the Romans. It said loud and clear, this is what happens to anybody who defies Rome. If you step out of line, this is what will happen to you. Rebel and die. It shouted out really clearly, this person has lost. They're a failure. What they tried to do has ended in defeat. Crucifixion shouted out loud and clear that what this person has done cannot be tolerated. Last year I mentioned a picture briefly, which I didn't show, but here on screen there is a picture. People couldn't believe that a god would be crucified. And what you're seeing here is a picture of some graffiti that was found inscribed in a wall near a school. And it's a picture of a man with a horse's head being crucified, and then this person who is raising a hand in worship stood there by this man that looks like a donkey that's been crucified. And underneath are some Greek words, and shortly I'll tell you what those Greek words mean. Now, we don't know exactly what the story is behind this, but I've come up with a story which I'm sure it would be something similar to this, because this was found near a school. Alex came home from school one day, and his parents were waiting for him. He wondered what was going on, and they told him, "We're going out tonight. Here's your tea, quick, we're in a hurry." Alex wondered why they were going out. They never went out other than to visit family. "Where are we going?" he asked. His parents replied, "We're going to a meeting about a man." Alexamenos thought that was a bit odd, but he went. And the meeting was already well underway by the time they got there, and they managed to just creep into the back of an already full room. And somebody was talking about the horror of crucifixion. Now, Alex had never seen a crucifixion. His parents made sure he never had to witness one. He just knew they were really, really horrific. He knew the victims suffered a really painful death and were also humiliated. The man carried on speaking, and he said that this man called Jesus that was crucified had never done anything wrong. Now, this puzzled Alex, and he thought, if Jesus has done nothing wrong, then why was he crucified? The man continued, "It was because of all the bad things that we have done." Alex thought, "I've never broken Roman law. So what wrong have I done that justifies this man being crucified?" But the man continued. He said, "Jesus died because of all the bad things that we do in breaking God's law. We lie, we are jealous, we have pride, we don't listen to our parents, we're grumpy." The man continued, "That because of these things and because we've broken God's law, that means that we'll be eternally separated from God. But Jesus paid our penalty by dying on the cross. It was God's plan for Jesus to die. Jesus is God." For Alexamenos, it was like a light bulb had gone on inside his mind. And at that moment, he became a follower of Jesus. The man said all he had to simply do was pray and ask God to forgive him and change his life and promise to live for God. That's what Alex did there and then. He returned home, and in many ways he was no different. But he knew God was in his life. The next day he went to school, and he couldn't wait to start telling people about Jesus and how he'd forgiven his wrong. He started to talk about Jesus and how he was crucified. Some people listened, but others began to laugh. They said, "What sort of a God would allow himself to be crucified? No one would ever do that." Well, maybe a donkey god. They continued to laugh at Alex. It seemed a really long day at school, and it was time to go home. As he was walking home, he heard someone say, "Quick, he's coming." He walked around the corner, And there it was, a picture of a man with a donkey's head being crucified. And underneath the words, Alexamenos worships his God. Alex felt all alone, but he wasn't alone because he knew God was with him. And he remembered some of the other words that the man had spoken last night. He recounted some words of Jesus, and Jesus said, "It will not be easy to be my follower. If they laughed and mocked me, they will laugh and mock you also. But rejoice, because you know if that happens, you are part of my family." Now, we don't know. That might be the details, it might not. All we know is that was found near a school. It's obviously designed to ridicule this guy called Alexamenos for worshipping a man who claimed to be God who was crucified. This morning, just for a few moments, what we're going to do is look at some of the details in this passage that are unusual, that didn't happen at other crucifixions, to help us see that what happened that day was God dying on a cross, defeating death. I'd like to point out, firstly, the centurion. Did you notice him in verse 47? A centurion is simply a man who serves in the Roman army. He's an important man with soldiers under him. He's used to seeing people killed. But notice what he says when Jesus dies. In verse 47, the centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." Now, in the other Gospels, we know that he also said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." What was it about Jesus' death that made this centurion look and think this man was a righteous man? What was it about Jesus' death that stood out to the centurion far and apart from all the other deaths that he'd seen? I think one of the things, or probably the thing, is the fact that Jesus went there willingly. Jesus volunteered. Jesus never protested. Jesus never cursed or said a bad word. In fact, when he was on the cross, Jesus spoke words of forgiveness. I'm sure everybody else that he'd seen crucified resisted, shouted, tried to refuse going there, but not Jesus. See, Jesus knew he was fulfilling God's plan. Jesus knew he would defeat death, and he would defeat it for you and me. Another person I want to point out is the criminal. Did you notice there were two people, it says in verse 32, two other men, both criminals, were led out to be executed. So when Jesus was crucified, there was someone crucified on his right and also on his left. Both of those men had broken Roman law. But those two men had also broken God's law. Now the punishment for breaking Roman law, the thing they'd done, the crime they committed, meant crucifixion. But the result of breaking God's law meant eternal death. As they were suffering there on the cross, it would just be a matter of hours before they would begin to face God's eternal judgment. But for one of them, something incredible happened. He sees something that so many other people around the cross missed. He sees something absolutely amazing. I don't know if any of you have seen this picture before. This is a picture, I'm sure many of you have seen it, and it's a picture that contains two different images. One of the images is an old lady, and the other image is a young lady. So I don't know if you can make it out. If you've seen it before, you see it straight away. If you've not seen it before, it might be a bit of a mystery. But the old lady, that's her eye there, that's her mouth, this is her nose, and she's like side profile, side on. But the young lady, that's her necklace, that's her ear, that's her nose, and she's looking away from us. Now, if you can't see that, it'll be a real mystery, and you'll have to hopefully ask someone and speak to somebody later on. But you see, in that picture, there are two ways of looking at it. Contains two things. And you can look at the cross, and you can see two different things. Now, when it comes to the cross, only one of them is real. There are two ways of looking at it, but there's only one that's true. This picture, both of them are contained within the picture. Two different ways of looking at it. But when it comes to the cross, only one thing is true. Either this is another criminal being defeated, Or this is Jesus winning a great victory. And that's what the criminal saw. In verse 42, he sees something that is totally different to what so many people stood around saw. In verse 42, he said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." So when this criminal looks at Jesus, he recognizes that Jesus is a king because he's coming into his kingdom. He recognizes that Jesus is entering his kingdom at this moment. And he also recognizes that Jesus can do something about his predicament. That is incredible eyes of faith to see when the person that's next to you is also being crucified. This man looks at Jesus and thinks, Jesus can help. See, Jesus is a king. Jesus is achieving something amazing here. For the religious leaders, they looked and thought Jesus was dying a failure, defeated, end of. But this criminal had faith. And at that moment, he put all his confidence, all his future into Jesus. He totally relied upon him. And at that moment, he became a new creation. Jesus changed his life. He went from heading towards eternal destruction to now somebody who was right with God and who was heading towards eternal joy. Absolutely incredible. So that's two people. We're now going to look at two other things that happen at the cross. The next one is in verse 44. And this is darkness. In verse 44 it says, "It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour." So that's from 12 o'clock, as the way we view time, 12 o'clock until 3 o'clock there was darkness. This isn't a total eclipse. This is a supernatural darkness sent from God. When you look through the Gospels, when you see Jesus talking about what happens after death, he uses different images. When he's talking about heaven, one of the images he uses is an image of feasting and rejoicing and just delight. And that's incredible. That's what it means to be with God. Just joy and pleasure. But then he also talked about what it was like for those who were not part of his kingdom. And that was words like weeping and gnashing of teeth. And he also used the term or the concept of darkness. I mean, so many people when they're younger are scared of the dark. I mean, even when you get older and you're out on your own and it's a bit dark and a bit eerie, it can be a bit intimidating, can't it? It's not often we're in the total dark. But Jesus explained when he was teaching about God's kingdom that those who reject God will face outer darkness for all eternity. And what's happening on the cross is when it goes dark, that's because Jesus is facing God's wrath. Jesus is taking our eternal blame and our eternal punishment. That's Jesus facing what we should have faced. Recently, there was a football match Arsenal were playing. I can't remember who they were playing against. And during the match, one of the players put his hand out to stop the ball in the box. And the referee went to his pocket to pull out the red card. And he sent the wrong player off because he got confused. That's what's happening on the cross. The wrong person is taking the blame. Now, God hasn't done that accidentally. It's not like he's got confused like that referee did. God is choosing to allow Jesus to face the penalty and shame for your wrong. For that time when you lost your temper. For that time when you told that lie. For that time when you had that thought that you shouldn't have had. Jesus had all that placed on him. And he faced God's wrath in that moment. Why? Well, that brings us to our last point. See, the Bible tells us something incredible happened in verse 45. The curtain of the temple was torn in two. In the temple, there was a special place where God symbolically dwelled. And a priest could go into that place. It was behind a curtain. A priest could go in that place at a certain time of year, wearing certain clothes, after offering certain sacrifices. That curtain was basically a big no-entry sign. Unholy people cannot come close to a holy God. Do not cross this line. You are separated from God. But because Jesus faced that darkness, because Jesus faced that penalty, because Jesus faced the wages of sin, which is death, the curtain is now torn in two. We have access to God through the cross. Our hearts have been fixed. Our sin has been dealt with. That's what we're rejoicing today on Good Friday. The fact that we can come close to God. Our penalty has been paid, and you've got a decision to make. You either believe it and live for God, or you ignore it and carry on living for yourself. What you can't do is claim to believe it and carry on living for yourself. That person isn't a Christian. If you genuinely believe that God, Jesus, went through all that anguish, all that pain, it wasn't just the nails, it wasn't just the crown of thorns, it wasn't just the lashes, it wasn't just the blindfold and being hit on the head with a staff. He drank from the cup of God's wrath. That spiritual pain far outweighed the physical. And he did that for you and for me. And if you accept that, if you believe that, that transforms your life. That's what we rejoice in this Good Friday. I hope that's something you believe. If you'd like to talk with me after this service, I'll be more than happy to tell you more about the cross. Let's pray and give thanks to God for what Jesus went through on our behalf before we sing our final hymn, which is 1216, O Precious Sight. Father, thank you that Jesus faced outer darkness. Thank you that he faced weeping and gnashing of teeth. Thank you that he drank from the cup of God's wrath so that we can have free access to you via the cross. Father, would you make that truth sink deeper into our hearts so it transforms our life, and so that we're people who live wholeheartedly for the King of Kings who gave himself for us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.